Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Friday, November 17th, 2017. I am live at BGGCon here in Dallas, and we're going to be talking a lot about board games at Board Game Geek Con over the weekend as I play a whole bunch and experience the convention. But we got to start with the ongoing saga. The Star Wars saga continues. I'm not sure what episode we're on. Is this 4, 5, 6? Either way, the Empire struck back with microtransactions, and now I feel like maybe a win for the Rebel Alliance. Certainly a surprising twist. As we found out, EA was our father the whole time. No, last night, crazy news as this unbelievable saga continues to unfold. Hours before Star Wars Battlefront 2 was released, a startling announcement from DICE and EA. They have completely removed Battlefront 2's economy and progression system from the game. Just hours before the game went live, it came out today. If you haven't been keeping up with this, we've been talking about it a lot on this show. I'll give you the quick primer on what's been going on. Star Wars Battlefront 2, of course, the big multiplayer Star Wars game. It's going to have a single-player campaign as well, but primarily a multiplayer experience where you can earn a whole bunch of cards that allow you to add new things into the game, new laser pistols, new jetpacks, new characters. And a lot of this stuff was placed into loot boxes. Those loot boxes could be purchased. So in effect, you were purchasing progression in the game. Moreover, the biggest characters in the game, like Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, were trapped behind the loot system, and you had to invest a tremendous amount of time to unlock those characters, time and or money. And to get everything in the game, we found out yesterday, based on an intrepid Reddit user, that it would cost you upwards of $2,100 to unlock everything in the game, or some kind of crazy tens of thousands of hours of game time. So people were very, very upset about this, trashing DICE, trashing the developers, trashing the game far and wide. And last night, a new announcement from DICE. Oscar Gabrielson, general manager of development at DICE Studio, acknowledged the backlash from the game's economy and said that player feedback inspired a last-minute change. Here is what we wrote. He said, "We hear you loud and clear. We're turning off all in-game purchases. We will now spend more time listening, adjusting, balancing, and tuning. This means that the option to purchase crystals in the game is now offline, and all progression will be earned through gameplay. The ability to purchase crystals in-game will become available at a later date, only after we've made changes to the game. We'll share more details as we work through this." That's crazy. It's crazy that they did it mere hours before the game went live. I mean, this is a drastic step. I think it may go a long way in assuaging people's fears, but it does feel like they are making wide-ranging, sweeping changes on the fly without much regard to any kind of overall plan. All of the conspiracy theorists on Reddit who said that, oh, the 75% discount on character cost was in the plan all along, clearly aren't correct here if they're willing to make these kinds of crazy changes. It just seems like they had no real plan and everything is cobbled together and they are reacting wildly based on these criticisms, which, as I mentioned, can be perceived as a win for the Rebel Alliance if you are considering the Rebel Alliance to be the people that are complaining loudly about these progression systems. I think it gives the end user very little confidence that DICE has any idea what they're doing, but if their voice is being heard to this extent and these changes are being implemented based on that feedback, maybe that does inspire confidence. I'm very curious what you think about this. Does this make you want to buy the game more? Do you feel like, do you feel a sense of relief here that now you won't be milked out of extra money, at least not in the short term? Let me know. I have actually gotten quite a few call-ins about this already. The first one I want to discuss comes from Matt, and he wonders what Dice could do. And I'm curious if he thinks what Dice has done is enough.
Hey, Jeff, it's Matt from Dallas. I hope you have a good time here when you're here. Anyways, I am curious about a thought on DICE and EA and then the Star Wars Battlefront 2 thing. So I really want the game. I mean, I do. I also don't want to pay for it because it seems like this is a completely ridiculous thing. But I love the Star Wars universe and was really super excited about a single player component to that, right? Like, it seems like a really cool thing. So my question is, like, how... Like, can they walk this back in any capacity, or are they just gone with it, right? Like, can they make amends with the player base? And if so, like, what do you think they could do or should do to kind of turn popular favor or you know, popular opinion back in their favor? Just curious. All right. Thanks. Take it easy. Oops.
Thanks for the call in, Matt, and I have been enjoying Dallas so far. I got in late last night and immediately went to a place called Hard Eight and ate the most amazing barbecue. But that's not what your call in was about. I'm wondering if you are more likely to get the game now. Are your fears assuaged? Are you happy now that you won't have to actually pay any actual human dollars to get the things in the game? You can't. For the immediate future, all you can do is try to grind in-game to get those things. Does that make it better? I'm very curious if you're now more likely to spend your dollar on this game. I'm certainly excited to play through the single player, and I want to dip my foot into the multiplayer. But I was never going to play a ton of the multiplayer anyway. It's just not my jam. So I'm much more. I was always a little more comfortable buying the game for its single player because I knew I wouldn't be touched by any of that stuff. But is this the right move? Just take it out of the game altogether? It seems so drastic and crazy. I feel like they should have built this all around cosmetic items anyway and not have had any progression linked to in-game money or in-game activities. Like, don't make me earn Luke Skywalker. I mean, I guess to get the best cars in a racing game, you have to play a lot, and a lot of racing games ask you to buy microtransactions to unlock those things, or basically allowing you to skip ahead and pay for the ability to not have to put in those hours. So is that much different? Is Luke Skywalker just the cool car? Well, we have another call-in that has a different idea about what DICE could have done to prevent this problem. This comes from Two Dorks. Take it away.
Hey, Jeff, this is Steven from Two Dorks. I just had a thought about the Star Wars Battlefront 2 shenanigans. Would we have been just as angry if they would have just announced maybe two characters when the game launched and then the remaining characters as DLC over the course of 6 months to a year? I feel like a lot of the issue is that the characters are there and you can get them all. You just have to work really hard or pay for them. But when it comes to DLC, we're generally content to just pay or play later and just get it over time. Do you think it would have been any different if they would have released it that way rather than saying all your characters come in the box, you just can't play with them yet? Because that seems kind of annoying to me as well. Just a thought.
Hi, Steven. Thanks for the call-in. I think I disagree with your premise here that just having the characters as DLC would have been psychologically more acceptable to the audience than the state we're in now with Star Wars Battlefront 2. And the reason I think that is because it's Star Wars. And it's Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader we're talking about. I mean, these are core characters, core experiences. I just made the comparison earlier in the show to the best cars in a racing game. And yeah, the best cars in a racing game, Ferraris and Lamborghinis and hot rods of all kinds, you can tell I'm a car guy, are central to the idea of a racing game, but you're still, it's still just sort of variations on a theme. This is the central experience, the central wish fulfillment idea of the franchise, right? Someone else made the comparison of a game like Madden, where the central idea is you can play as any of the teams in the NFL. If you only had 10 NFL teams when you turned on Madden and you had to unlock the best teams, you had to unlock the Patriots in order to play the Patriots. If the Patriots were, you know, this thing you had to grind towards rather than just being able to play them right from the first menu, people would be mad. Because the idea is, I'm buying a football game. I want to play the best football teams. I think that's the situation you have here. And people feel about Star Wars differently than they feel about any other IP. They feel a sense of ownership to these characters and these experiences. And while I understand the idea of putting carrots on sticks and saying, hey, it's cool to feel a sense of prestige and accomplishment when you have earned Darth Vader. Darth Vader isn't just for anybody. One doesn't simply just waltz into the Death Star and pick up Darth Vader. No, no, no. Darth Vader is a premier accomplishment in our game. I get that. I remember Star Wars Galaxies, the old MMO, made being a Jedi, at least at first. Later it made it super easy. But at least at first it made being a Jedi really tough. And yeah, that's a central concept, but it made it tough because the world was about how rare Jedis were. It's not the same case with Battlefront 2. And especially if they're just inside loot boxes, you might be able to loot them at any time. That's not really accomplishment. That's just getting lucky. So, I mean, I guess you'd still need to earn the credit. The way this works is that you still have to earn a specific amount of credit. So you can't just get a slot machine roll that gives you Vader. But you take my point in the sense that things are a little different here with this particular game. And I don't think the lessons that we learned for putting things behind DLC, like, you know, adding cool characters to Injustice 2, for example, because, you know, they're later releases, and so that seems cool, like there was something we're getting rather than something we're prevented from. I don't think that applies here, and I don't think it applies to characters like Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, Princess Leia, Han Solo, Rey, you know. These are characters that everybody wants. That's when you look at the box, that's the vision that you have is playing as Darth Vader. Come on. So I don't think that would have helped in this situation, and I don't know anything other than maybe having weird variations as DLC or, you know, as unlockables. I don't know how you do cosmetics in the Star Wars universe. I guess you could have multiple Luke costumes. Why not? It's not really multiple Vader costumes, but maybe you have hatless Vader with old shriveled guy instead of that would be a cool thing to unlock. Old shriveled, I want to look at you one last time with my own eyes Vader costume. I'd be into that. I'd pay real dollars for that. Running around the battlefield like shriveled old guy, that'd be rad. I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you going to buy Star Wars today? I want to play it, but I'm at BGGCon. I'm playing board games. Don't bother me. Plenty of Star Wars board games to play, by the way. Yeah.